You know, how many of you have ever had to move or move something? Just move something. You know, you either had to have your own truck or get a rider truck or a U-Haul or something. Maybe if you're moving, you may have to call them a moving van, moving company. You know, life has a way of moving us around. Hello? Not just geographically, but physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now notice the phrase there, but none of these things move me. Now some other translations, and I think we need to turn that down just a hair. I'm getting a little feedback up here myself. All right. The Worldwide English Bible says, but none of these things trouble me. Another version says, but I fear none of these things. The Berkeley version says, however, I'm not concerned about anything. And then, you know, just in the verse above that, in 23, Paul said, the Holy Spirit in every city says that chains and tribulations awaited him. But he was not afraid of any of those things. He did not allow them to interfere with him accomplishing what he was supposed to accomplish for God. You know, he was determined to do what God had told him to do. I mean, even if you go and read back where Agabus was the first one to say, give him that that prophecy or word of wisdom or knowledge or whatever you want to call it. Paul said, but I am to go to Rome because God, that's what God wanted. And so none of those things moved him. Now you realize that in Paul's life that he faced incredible opposition. If you ever study his life, you'll find out that Paul did not have an easy life. You'll also find out that he dealt with a lot of obstacles. And you'll find out that he faced almost insurmountable circumstances. But he didn't let any of that deter him. He didn't let any of those things move him out of following God. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, I mean, when Dad left that last church and went out into the ministry that he was in for the rest of his life, you know, we had some rough times. And but Dad was following God, what God told him to do. The end result is great. Here, you see it. But during some of those times, man, I'm a teenager, but I say, man, Dad, what are we going to do? And he said, son, we're going to act like the Bible. So, and just another opportunity to prove God's word works. You know, often this attitude we're going to have to get a hold of if we're going to accomplish what God has for us to do. We just have to say, none of these things will move me. You know, I know whenever we started Rhema, September 1974, we were facing some tough situations. I went home and told my wife, I said, because God had told us to do it, I said, Rhema's going to go if I have to hawk everything I got. That meant, and I meant it too. You know, too often as we're going through life and trying to do what we feel like we're supposed to do in life, so many times when you talk about God's will for your life, everybody wants to start putting it into a ministerial position. No, it's not. God wants his people everywhere. And so, and then some of you that are in some professions, you are able to touch and reach more people than I'll ever reach by preaching from the pulpit. That's why I like going out to that racetrack with my grandson and being out there. I get to be one-on-one with those guys, and I like that. But have you ever noticed that influence, different people influences, different pressures from different groups or groups of people? You know, various things can push you. You know, as the head of this ministry, for years, I've told people many times, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. And then some people got mad at me. They try to influence me to do this or do that or do something else. I know they tried to, for years they tried, they finally stopped and they realized there wasn't no use. But they tried to influence me to start a Christian school, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade. And I mean, I had a lot of pressure, money pressure and everything else. And I said, no, that's not what we were called to do. Said, let other people do that. And so, if you're a car salesman or a mechanic or working in the medical field or this new technology, IT, I think they call it, field, whatever, you know, that can be what God wants you to do. So don't throw everything into a has to be a ministry. Now, you can work in your church and in a volunteer capacity, or I call it the ministry of helps. But, you know, but we need to take the attitude, nothing is going to influence me or pressure me. You know, sometimes people have an opportunity, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so I better back off. You know, circumstances sometimes have a tendency to help us. They want to move us because of this circumstance or that circumstance or what people say. You know, if you're going to be successful in life, period, you got to get over what people say. Somebody come up to me not very long ago and said, you know what so-and-so said about you? I said, I don't care. What? I said, just because they said it doesn't make it true or untrue. You know, I mean, they say all kinds of things about me, you know, and our name. You go, just go, I don't do it, but my son did one time. He said, Dad, you know what they say about us? I said, oh, I know basically, but I said, I care less. You know, you can go Google it there and see it, but, you know, who cares? I'm doing what God called me to do. If they don't like it, that's their problem. You know, but we all need to get that way so that we can be ourselves with what God has us doing at the moment. He may change you. I mean, when I first was in the ministry, I was an evangelist for all those years. Well, we started the school, and then I still traveled on the weekends, and then all summer. I mean, man, the minute graduation was over, I was on. In fact, after graduation, I was on the road. Yeah, I hit the road with the kids. First of all, we just had that white Dodge van, and man, we hit the road, and we'd be gone for 3 months out there on the road. Then coming in, then God in '85, God told us to start the church. See, you got to learn how to follow God and wherever He leads you. Now, did I necessarily want to start the church? No, not really, because I enjoyed really traveling in ministry. I enjoyed that, but that's not what God said to do. See, people will pressure you into doing stuff. Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth, the great man of faith, English minister. If you've never read any of Wigglesworth's stuff, I suggest you read some of it. And I would suggest you start with Ever Increasing Faith. That's one of the best books that you can read. But he says, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. Now, I'm not talking about not using common sense. You know, sometimes when you start talking like this, people go off of the deep end over here, or they go off the deep end on that. So they need to stay a balance, you know. So if you walk out in that street and you see a truck coming, you better get out of the way. Hello. You know. But we have to determine not to let anything move us. Now, there's a lot of things that can move us, obstacles that we encounter in life. Negative circumstances, layoff at work, people's opinions and attitudes. That's one, you know, lack of money. Well, that's one we all have. So we can't let that, you know, bad relationships, all kinds of different challenges that may try to steer you in the opposite direction. And that's just to name a few obstacles that you're going to face. You know, that's one way that the enemy keeps us from walking out and receiving the blessings of God in our lives. You know, the thing that we need to realize that obstacles are temporary. You know, I guarantee many of you right now can remember a difficult situation that you faced in the past, but today it's only just a memory. And you start talking about it sometimes, and you laugh about it. But it wasn't no laughing matter at the time it was going on. No laughing matter then. Hello? You see, even though you were facing some situations, they were temporary. They're gone. Life goes on. See, the power of God is strong enough to get you through any situation. You know, the Israelites found themselves in an impossible situation, actually facing insurmountable obstacles at the Red Sea. Red Sea in front of them, mountains on each side of them, Pharaoh and the army behind them. And that's something else. That was a grave in the making right there. But if you'll read, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, Moses, Exodus 14, 21 through 30, you read the whole thing, it talks about how Moses stretched his hand over the sea, the waters went back, they went through, then Moses stretched his rod again, and the Egyptians in the middle of the sea, and the water fell back on top of them. And in fact, God had told him before, he said, stand still and see me move. I'm going to paraphrase it in our language. Well, they saw it. See, we have to learn not to be moved by obstacles that show up in our way, because you're going to have obstacles. In fact, Jesus said there in John, he said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. Anybody ever read that scripture? But he said, I have overcome it. You know, we have to believe the word of God and walk with God. Again, another quote from Smith Wigglesworth. A man must be in an immovable condition. The voice of God must mean to him more than what he sees, feels, or what people say. You know, what God says in the Word. Somebody said, well, I never heard God talking to me. Well, you didn't read the Bible then. Because this is God talking right here. This is God saying something right here. You know, like I said a while ago, God is bigger than any obstacle that you're going to face. You know, the enemy will try to manipulate you through using people and sometimes even our own families. Well, you oughtn't to do that. Why are you moving over there anymore? Anyway. and they'll put pressure on you. You know, but we have to get to the point that we exercise determination. Nothing is going to move me from being where God wants me to be. Now, I will say this. Sometimes the place you're at may not be a place that you really enjoy. I've been there. But that's where God said to go. So that's where I was. You see, you got to determine not to follow every opportunity that comes down the pipe. See, I'm talking tonight about, you know, following God in our lives. You know, opportunities come and go. There are more opportunities where the one that you just missed came from. You know, America's been called the land of opportunity. You know, the world may say, this is the only opportunity you'll get. But God said, as long as you trust me, you'll have all kinds of opportunities. You know, opportunities sometimes come in waves, and you got to learn how to surf the waves of God's opportunities. Every opportunity, though, is not always from God. And even though an opportunity looks right and it looks good, it may not be what you're supposed to do. You know, one time I was praying, getting ready for my Sunday service. This was several years ago. I used to have a workout room that I go out and mostly listen to music and just meditate and pray. And sometimes I would do a little bit of workout, but not much. I mostly was working on my spirit. I was doing spiritual workout, not much physical workout. And I was praying about something because some people were talking to us about they doing something, and it seemed like a really good opportunity to get involved with. And the Lord asked me, is that what you're called to do? I said, well, not really, but it's good. And he said this to me, and it might be something, I don't say it very often, but occasionally I'll say it. He said, anytime that you take your time, your effort, and your money to do an opportunity that may be good, and it may help the kingdom, but if that's not what you're called to do, you're in disobedience. And so, since then, I've sort of operated that way. And I've operated that way. And there have been many opportunities that have come for this ministry, Kentucky Ministries, Rhema Bible Church, to get involved in things. And I knew that wasn't what we were supposed to do. In fact, I had a man get mad at me one time because I wouldn't get involved in a feeding program. Now, I'm not talking about it was an international big feed the hungry program. And I realized that that's not where our finances were supposed to go. Our finances were supposed to go in training Bible colleges. I mean, this guy actually got mad at me. Another minister actually got really upset with me. Well, you could help and you could do this. And I said, I know I could, but that's not where God wants me to put my money. Hello? Anybody get anything out of this? Just because an opportunity may look good, smell good, seem good, and actually, it may be something that is helping the kingdom of God. it's not automatically meant for you to get involved. You know, we need to pray and discern the opportunities. And of course, this one, you know, if it's an opportunity that really doesn't line up with God's word, you don't want to get involved with it in the first place. And then, I'm going to get one. There's a lot of opportunities that come along, even in the church world, that are not ethical. Leave those alone. Don't even pray about it. If it's not ethical, then it's against God. It's against the word of God. You know, I mean, my dad used to, way back, when I was, grade school, if he went into a town and preached in this man's church over here, and this guy over here wanted him to come, he would not go preaching for that guy unless this pastor said, I think it'd be all right. You said, well, the reason being is because that's not right to draw people from his church over to another church. That's why he wouldn't do it. I ain't getting many amens on that. Some opportunities take advantage of people. Avoid that. Don't be involved. I get upset sometimes with Christian television because I see that actually people are just taking advantage of people. I better leave that alone. Every opportunity is not always the right opportunity. If they're in line with God's word and you pray about it and it's in line with what you need to be doing, then go for it. Otherwise, leave it alone. I don't care if it is a good opportunity. Let it go down the road. You know, let me encourage you, stop looking back on missed opportunities too. A lot of people, you talk to, all they can talk about is a missed opportunity. If I'd have done this, if I'd have done that, and some people live on Regret Street, right next door to I'm Sorry Boulevard. You know, everything is always, they missed it. Hey, let me tell you what. Everybody misses it. Not that we intend to, but we do. But God, he forgives us. God is bigger than missed opportunities. There's a song, I heard it, as y'all all know, I listen to on the FM radio, the satellite radio. I listen to Enlighten, which they play mostly the quartet music and some of the stuff. And I forget, I think it's Guy Penrod. He's got a song, and in that song it says, Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. I just like that. I think that's a great statement. You know, the past is the past. Why worry about it? Come on and follow God where He wants you to go. Anybody ever heard of a person by the name of Alexander Graham Bell? How many of you used a phone today? It's because of Bell that you were able to do that. He had a really good statement. I like this statement. When one door closes, another opens, but we often look so long and so regretful upon the closed door that we do not see the one which is opened for us. Many people are missing an opportunity with God because they're so fixated on this missed opportunity that they missed with God. Hey, he'll forgive you. Go on. He's opened another one. He's opened you another opportunity. Hey, forget that. Go on. Because you can't do anything about it. It's past. It's over. It's done with. You know, some people think that life is over just because they missed it. Like I said, everybody missed it. My dad told me one time when I was starting to go into ministry, he said, son, don't ever worry about missing it because you're going to. Come on now. See, life has a way of bringing us around to having success again if we just don't stay in that spot where we missed it. Now, let's go to another look at this thing. Just don't be an opportunity chaser. Some people are so fixed on doing something else that they can't even accomplish what they're supposed to here because they're always looking out here. Stay focused on where you are with what you're doing. And when the time comes, God will lead you where you need to go. Otherwise, just forget it. Quit looking. My wife has a good theory. You know, like we used to, you know, when we was traveling on the road, we had the motor home. And I just like to go look at them, you know. Just look at them. She said, if I'm not going to buy, I'm not going to look at nothing. Because that might make me start wanting something. She just don't go. If she goes shopping, she is looking for something specific. Now you can ask William here. William works at Matthew Brothers, and he's been Miss Lynette's salesman for how many years now? A bunch of years, right? And William knows when she comes in, she tells him what she's looking for. And he tells her, well, it's over in this section of the store. And he just leaves her alone until she asks him a question or something, you know. And but have you ever been at a place when the salesman, you tell them what you want and they show you, and then they start trying, well, let me show you this and let me show you that. You do that with Miss Lynette, she'd turn and walk off. She'll walk out. I've seen her do it. Because she's focused on what she needs and what she's looking for. She's not interested in that looking at something else. See, they're trying to get you off on something else. Well, it's close to it, but it's not it. Let me understand what I'm talking about. You ever had a salesman do that to you? Yeah. Yeah, you go try to buy a car sometimes. That's what they do. They try to move you over here. Well, I'm not interested in that. Hey, that's what we need to be with working with the things where we're at, where God's got us. We just stay focused on it. Somebody said, well, won't you check this out? Won't you? No, I don't need to check that out. I'm right here. When God gets ready for me to check something out, he'll tell me. I don't have to have somebody come tell me. You know, we've got to determine to follow God in this way. I like what Paul said in Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. You know, in him we live and move and have our being. Now, we must learn to be influenced and guided by what the Word says, what the Word of God says, what the Spirit of God says to us. You know, Wigglesworth, quoting from him again, If you seek nothing but the will of God, he'll always put you in the right place at the right time. See, God's promised to guide us in many different ways. I'm just going to read a few things here. Exodus 15:13. With your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. In your might, you guide them to the a sacred home. That's NLT, Proverbs 4:11-12, Contemporary English Version. I've shown you the way that makes sense. I've guided you along the right path. Your road won't be blocked. You won't stumble when you run. Isaiah 58:11 in the NIV. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. John 16:13, NIV. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You see, when you're reading the Word of God, as you read the Word of God many times, the Spirit of God will begin to speak to you, and somebody else could read the same scripture and get something else from it. Now, of course, we all know Romans 8:16, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You know, when I left the associate pastor job with my father-in-law, well, Lynette didn't go at first. But she knew she had to be convinced. I knew it was what to do, but she said, I'm not convinced. So I went so she was praying about it, and she wasn't getting nowhere. And her cousin was staying at the house, and she wasn't getting anywhere. And she told her, listen, said, I'm praying and I'm not getting anything. So I'm gonna go to the Word, because that's, you know. And she did something that she never does, but she would just open the Bible and put her finger down and start reading. And after about 4 days, she told her cousin, she said, you know what? She said, the Word of God is speaking to me, because every scripture she went to read had something to do with faith. And that's what this ministry is. Faith. We got it on top of the building, right? But you see, the Word of God will speak to you in that way. You know, God's path for us, let me tell you this. God's path for you will not be obstacle free. You know why? Because of the enemy. The enemy, Satan himself, is trying to do everything he can to deter you, and he'll throw obstacles at you. But God's path is filled with opportunity. You know, one guy came to me one time and he said, I must be out of the will of God, because he started naming all this. I said, that tells me you are in the will of God. What? I said, yeah. I said, if you wasn't in the will of God, the devil wouldn't even care what you was doing. He wouldn't be trying to stop you. Well, it's the truth. He don't need to shut anybody down that's not doing anything for God. He's trying to stop those that are trying to do something for God. He's trying to stop you from getting the blessings that the Word of God says belongs to you. You know, God will help you take advantage of every opportunity. You know, keep your eyes open. Keep your heart open. Keep your mind open to the Word of God. You know, today is a time when we're going to have to learn to overcome the obstacles and discern the right opportunities. Now, I want to give you 4 things here on closing that'll help you to be able to know what to do. Wait on the Holy Spirit. Just don't go running off doing whatever you think you're supposed to, what you want to do. Wait on the Holy Spirit to give you the word. Inquire what the Word of God has to say. It's your roadmap to your success. Lay aside all your own personal desires and ambitions and go what God says. You know, many times, many people come to me and say, well, God's telling me to do this and God is telling me to do the other. And I know good and well it ain't. Because it's their own personal ambition. And then they go out and they try to do something and they fail. And it's Rhema's fault. I'm serious. You don't know how many letters that I've gotten over the years. There's Miss Willene. She worked down there where all those letters come in for how many years, Miss Willene? Huh? 27 years. And that was back when they had the hard copy letters before we started getting the emails. And I don't know how many times that what this going out to do crazy in the first place. But now they write a letter back to us and it's our fault that they failed. I told one guy told me that and he said, well, it's Rhema's fault. I said, you know, I see a lot of people that go and I named several universities. And I said, I see that they fail, but they don't blame their university. I said, it's your own fault. Well, he got mad at me. He looked like he wanted to hit me, but he knew better than that. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? It's 8 o'clock. I hope I helped somebody tonight. Why don't we stand up? Why don't we say this? I'm determined to finish my course. I will not be moved out of my place. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what God's Word says. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I talked to these people for a few moments today just about opportunities and obstacles and things that deter us and keep us from getting everything that we should get from you, that keep us from following your will for our lives. Help us all to look at all of this. Father, may each one of us take what is needed from what is said tonight and apply it to our lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we'd sure like for you to know him before you leave here. If you happen to know what it is to serve God and you know you had your faith in God, but you're just not where you need to be, well, you need to come and rededicate your life. Or if you need to want to receive the Holy Spirit, or you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed, the ladies are here, the men are over here, come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen? Hey, Sunday morning right here. Sunday morning, special Sunday for our especially our high school. We'll be honoring our high school graduates. I've done this ever since the church started in 1985. We started in October 1985, and I did it at that first in 86, in May of 86 when they graduated. And I've been doing it ever since. We'll be recognizing them. I'll be doing a special message that will be geared toward them. But actually, for y'all don't know, Wednesday my study day, and I put both these messages together today. And I just finished it just before I come to church. It's going to be a good one. That's what we say down in Texas, good one. for you other people, a good one. But how many understand that kind of language, that kind of language? All right. But Sunday morning, be here. Remember all the announcements that we had. It's going to be a great time, so be there. And turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, nothing's going to keep me from getting what I need from God. Amen. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. Come to the front right now. You need prayer for any reason whatsoever. Come to the front right now. Hold on just a minute. I forgot first time guest. Hey, we're so glad to have you. Hey, connection team, go find those people. I got a special gift I want to give to you. If you're looking for a church home, we just say, welcome home. Come on back. God bless.